Today, I want to speak about being bold to do the assignment that God has called you to do. 1 Chronicles 28, verses 20. And David said to his son Solomon, "Be strong and of good courage and do it." Amen. "Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you." Sound familiar? "Until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." Let's break it down. David said to his son Solomon, "Be strong and of good courage and do it." Do what? Build the temple. Be the king. Protect the people. So I want to turn it on you. What do you have to be strong and courageous to do? What has God told you to do? What has God told you to build? What has God called you to create? What has He called you to join? What has He called you to be a part of? And to do that, you're going to need to be strong and courageous. "Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord my God will be with you." Amen. Everything I've ever set out to do, I did it with boldness because I knew who was backing me up. I waited and waited and waited and waited on the Lord, waited on the Lord, waited on the Lord. Got to know the Lord, got to know the Lord, spent time with Him, read about Him, meditate about Him, meditate on His word. And when the Lord said, "Jared, go," I went. To others, it may seem, wow, that guy's pretty bold to go to Islamic schools and preach. That guy's pretty bold to start a TV show in Africa. That guy's pretty bold to start Save the World Foundation, to start Eternity Church, to get the farm. But it's like, I know who's backing me up. If I didn't know who was backing me up, then I'm like, that guy's the toughest guy I've ever known in my life. That guy's really courageous. But the reason why I'm bold and courageous, I know who gave me the orders. My general gave me the orders. And he doesn't send me into battle. He goes before me. Like the generals in the Israeli army, like Lucinda said, they went into the tunnels first. God goes in first and He says, "Come, Jared, come walk on the water." But if we take our eyes off the general, when we take our eyes off Jesus, that's when we sink. But if we keep our eyes on Him, we're going to walk on the water. I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat Christian. "He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." So what is that assignment He's given you? What is that assignment? Cody, remember that song I used to sing? Zach, do you remember the song? Cody, my boys love me putting them to bed. "Dad, sleep with me, so I have to sleep with this one for 5 minutes. Then I go to him, "Dad, sleep with me." Then Liam's like, Dad. I'm like, but I have a famous song I sing to them. I started with Cody. I said, "Cody, God has a great plan for your life, Cody. God has a great plan for your life." Then it's Zach. "God has a great plan for your life, Zachariah. God has a great plan for your life." Then Liam, "God has a great plan for your..." So when Cody's small, I'm singing him the song, "God has a great plan for your life, Cody. God has a great plan for your life. What is it?" I said, you need to ask Him. And so do you. "God, what is your plan for my life? What assignment do you have for me?" Don't worry about the soldier next to you, about the Christian next to you, even your wife, your kids. What is the assignment God has for you? Now, sometimes God will give a family a collective assignment, but sometimes the individuals in that family have an assignment. And when you get your assignment from the Lord, you can be so bold. You can go where angels fear to tread. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. That means immovable. When the waves come and the lightning comes and the pressures come and the naysayers come and the Amalekites and the Ishmaelites and all the ites come against you, like in the Bible, you're immovable because you know who's backing you up. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, when you step into what God wants you to do, it's eternal. It has eternal value. When you build in something for the Lord, church or ministry, and you're part of it, whether you finance it, whether you volunteer for it, you give your time, your effort, your talents, your treasure, you build in an eternal glory for the Lord. And if it's done the right way, it's a generational blessing. When people say, Jared, what are you going to call your evangelism ministry? Jared Davidoff Ministries. I said, forget about that. Because it's not my ministry. It's the Lord's ministry. He chose me to be the founder and to set it up, but it's going to be a generational evangelism ministry. And I'm just one of many until Jesus comes. I'm just one of many on the team. And I often say, Lord, thank you for calling me to, like, Save the World Foundation. Thank you for calling me to Eternity Church, because whatever I do for it, it has eternal consequences. When the worship team is up here, it has eternal consequences. When the media team are putting this up and these teachings are eternal, generations will hear our teachings. So David standing behind the camera, it's not just David standing and his legs are getting and it's over. It has an eternal consequence. Matt editing it, Nick, Kirsten, it has eternal consequences. The team coming before and praying, it has eternal consequences. Your giving has eternal consequences. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 5, and take this for yourself. Before I knew you, says the Lord, in the womb, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So that means before you even were conceived, the Lord knew you. He plotted and planned your life. You're not just an accident. You popped on the scene and now God was running around heaven. What are we going to do with them? What do you think? No, maybe they should work at the bank. Maybe they should do this. Maybe. No, before your parents met each other, God already destined for you to be on planet Earth for an assignment. That's why abortion is murder. Murder. Where are the rallies for the murdered babies? 3,000 babies a day in America are murdered. 3,000. There's a September 11 every single day. Where are the protests? One person, George Floyd, gets in a situation. There's hundreds and thousands rallying. It wasn't unjust. What's happening all over the world? Who's rallying for the unborn? Well, we are, amen? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. Now, that word sanctify means I set you apart. God set you apart for a purpose. I have that revelation. I know I have a purpose. And every day I'm working towards that purpose. Inch by inch. Inch by inch. Every day, working towards fulfilling my purpose as a pastor, as an evangelist. So every day, whatever your purpose is, you need to be working at it. Amen? Before you were born, I sanctified you. It means to be set apart for a sacred purpose. I ordained you. The meaning of ordain is to invest officially with a ministerial or priestly authority. You can get up in the calling that the Lord has for you and speak with power and authority because God has anointed you to do that thing. And when you speak, even people that have been in your industry will be perplexed. How did you even know that? You don't have the experience, but you came up with such a great idea. That's because we have heavenly wisdom. Amen. Hallelujah. The word ordained means to be established or ordered by appointment, decree, or law. You are a prophet to the nation. Say, I am a prophet to my family, to my neighborhood, to my business. I'm an asset. My company needs me. My church needs me. My community needs me. This country needs me. My friends need me. The downtrodden need me. And I am ordained by God to be a blessing to them. Say, I am ordained by God to be a blessing to everyone. If you want to be great, who wants to be great? Now, I want to be great. Come on, you watch Superman, you want to be Superman. When you first saw Superman, it's like, oh, I wish I could. You saw the X-Men, you saw Rocky. Didn't you want to be Rocky just for, especially the guys? Jesus, you heard of him? Jesus said, if you want to be great, so it's a noble thing to be great. How do you be great? He said, be the servant of all. It's called servant leadership. Revelation 22, verses 12, and behold, I am coming quickly. This is Jesus, and my reward is with me. To give everyone according to his work. Hallelujah! His work. The work that God has called you to do. What has he called you to do? You need to ask him. My main work on planet Earth is to raise up an army of evangelists to go all over the world and lead a billion souls. That's my ultimate calling, that's what it's going to be on my tombstone, unless Jesus comes and we're all raptured. What is your main calling? If you're a politician, your main calling is to stand up for righteousness in the public arena. If your main calling is to be a famous person in whatever, it's so that you will have a platform to share the love of Jesus with people. If your main platform is to raise people up and establish people, God will do that. And as my mentor Reinhard Bonnke always used to say, background people, people behind the scenes that help make things happen, will receive a forefront reward. And who's going to give you that reward? According to Revelation 22:12, Jesus. Daniel 12, verses 3, those who are wise, I want to be wise. Who wants to be wise? And throughout Proverbs, it says wisdom is calling out in the street. It's knocking on the door. And even Solomon, when he was presented with anything, do you want power? Do you want fortune? Do you want to be the greatest military? What do you want? He said, Lord, give me wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is simply knowing what to do. That's it. It's literally, do you think we should go? No, we should wait. Do you think we should wait? No, we should go. Do you think we should expand? No, let's wait. 6 months later, now's the time to open a new location. Do you think we should invest in this company? No, wait. Okay, the Lord said we must now go. So you buy a lot of shares in this company called Amazon, and this is like a week before coronavirus hits, and now everyone's at home ordering from home, and the stock goes through the roof. Now, did you have to go to Harvard Business School to invest? Did you have to be a seasoned veteran Warren Buffett investor to make that decision? You take all your life savings, you got $10,000 saved up, and the Lord says, buy this stock, and it blows up. That's wisdom. And it says here, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. I want to be wise, and I want to turn people from darkness to light. From not knowing Jesus to knowing Jesus. And 2 Timothy 4, verses 8, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. That's going to be a glorious day. We're in heaven, and the Lord is giving out rewards. It's said here, remember in Revelation, the Lord is going to give you a reward for the work that he called you to do, or he called you to be a part of. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So that's why it's so important for us to be bold in the assignment that God has called us to do. Don't let anyone intimidate you. Don't let anyone crush your dreams. Now, if you can't sing, we've said it before, if you can't sing, don't. And you go on American Idol and Simon says you're terrible and everyone says you're terrible. And the only one telling you you're great is your mom. And you get 4 buzzers, XX. That was an unrealistic dream. But if the Lord gives you a God dream, then go for it. Amen. And the second one I want to talk about today, we're going to do 2 today, is we need boldness to share the gospel. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek. The world is so bold in believing what they believe, they're all out the closet, right? They even believe in things they don't even know anything about, but no, I'll join the march. I'll join the march. There were 300,000 people in London yesterday joining the march for Palestine, which we love the people of Palestine. Let's just qualify that. The people of Palestine are different from Hamas. We are against the 30 to 40,000 Hamas soldiers that are not just hating Israel, but they really hate the people of Palestine. Jared, how can you say that? Well, if I have a rocket launcher and I go on top of a school, on top of a hospital, on top of a kindergarten, so I come out my tunnel, I quickly go on top. Some of them, the rocket launchers are actually on the same surface as the land, next to like a nursery school or whatever, and I launch it. And as soon as it's launched, through satellite and modern technology, the Israeli army know where it was launched from. So they quickly send their jets to that location, like within seconds or 30 seconds or a minute, and it's bombing that area, and that area is a school or something. Do the Hamas people really love their people? No, they're using them as human shields. And we are praying for the people of Palestine. You know, they say free Palestine. I agree. Free Palestine from Hamas. It says here in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Say power. Holy Spirit power. It's called the anointing. It's a burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. Power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be witness to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. You'll be witnesses to me in Orange County, in California, America, all the nations of the world, wherever the Lord sends you, you will have power. Power in a board meeting, power when they put a microphone. What do you think of the situation? You're going to know what to say. The Bible says the Lord will tell you what to say in that moment. And don't be a seeker-sensitive snowflake. Be bold. Yesterday, the Lord said to me, I want you to write a post and put it on Instagram, put it on LinkedIn, put it on, and WhatsApp it to, like, I've got about 1,000 people in all my groups on WhatsApp. I let everyone know where I stand with the Israeli situation. Because I don't want, there must be no, I wonder how he stands on the situation. And then the next one, and we need to be outspoken against abortion. And not just outspoken, we need to give solutions. If those women think, I can't raise the kid, we need to have an alternative solution. That's where the people that God has raised up to start orphanages and the business people God has called to help the people to start the orphanages collaborate. So we can give these girls, these ladies, these women an alternative. Okay, you don't want the child, but there is a child in you. We'll take the child. We will raise the child. We will get Jesus in that child. We will teach that child how to follow the Lord, how to be on fire for Jesus. So we need to have solutions. 1 Thessalonians 2:2, but even after we have suffered before and we were spitefully treated in Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel in much conflict. It's not always going to be easy. Ask the Chinese Christians, is it easy to preach the gospel? Ask people in Islamic territories, is it easy? In fact, Lucinda said just this week, 700 Christians were slaughtered by Hamas, their affiliate in Sudan. And I've been to Sudan. I went there with Reinhard Bonnke. I'll never forget it. A Jew going to Sudan. A Jew who believes in Jesus going to Sudan. Oy vey, what were you thinking? So we arrived there. Reinhard's there. I think I was, as far as I can remember, I think I was the only visitor besides his team. It was a small team. And the year before, now when Reinhard does a crusade, there is about 100,000 posters, millions of flyers, billboards, normally 100 billboards, a million posters, and 100,000 posters and millions of flyers. So everyone in the city knows Bonky's in town. But the Muslim guys pulled every poster down. So Reinhard's crusade, when it started, now we all want crusades like this, but he only had about 30,000 people in the crusade, which for him is like a prayer meeting. If you've been around Reinhard Bonnke. But there was a man, Omar Muhammad, I've shared this testimony before. He was deaf and dumb because him and his father were in the field and lightning struck, killed the father, and he became deaf and dumb. And he used to beg at the university there in Khartoum. He had special permission, a special permit to beg, and the students knew him and they'd give him a little bit of money. And it was God's divine timing that Omar Muhammad arrived at that crusade in Sudan. And Bonky was preaching, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Blind eyes open. In the name of Jesus, crippled people, rise up and walk. And Reinhard said, lightning struck Omar Muhammad for the second time. But it was the lightning of the Holy Spirit. And he got up. He was totally, his eyesight returned. He received Jesus. He was 100%. And Reinhard said dozens and dozens of Muslim people, before I even did the altar call, their eyes were popping open like popcorn. Jesus was healing them because, and whenever someone talks, I always like, the way my brain computes is I'm taking the word and I'm assessing what they're saying. And as he was saying that scripture, it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. Sometimes the Lord will heal people to show them he's a good God. And one woman, I think she was in South Africa, had a vision. And in the vision, she saw a sharpshooter on one of the buildings taking aim at Reinhard and shooting him. So she emailed his office. They let the true authorities in Khartoum know about it, exactly which building. She described it to a T. And guess what happened? Before the crusade started, they found the sharpshooter on the building. Then the next year, I was with Reinhard, and the night before the crusade, all his offices around the world, the CIA and the FBI all got an email from a certain individual warning Reinhard Bonnke, if you have a crusade, your team will die on the crusade field. We will blow up all your offices around the world. This was in the year, in 2010, signed Osama bin Laden. Can you believe it? Before 9/11, I was with Reinhard in Khartoum, and bin Laden threatened Reinhard and the team, if you have a crusade, you're going to die. So Reinhard, for the first time ever in his ministry, said, this is like a serious threat. We don't want tens and thousands, hundreds and thousands. Oh, and let me go back to the year before. Because they tore down all the advertising, there was only 30,000. Because all the blind people were going home seeing, and Omar Muhammad, thousands of students knew him, the next night, over 100,000 people at the crusade. So God wants us to be bold. Ephesians 6, verses 19. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So like I said, it's not like, wow, he's so bold. No, that's how every Christian should be. 2 Corinthians 3:12, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Amen. Great boldness of speech. Acts chapter 4, verses 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by which means he has been made well, let it be known to all of you. These are the same crowd that killed Jesus, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin. Peter is standing before the same crowd. So he knows they're violent people. He's saying, let it be known to all of you that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified. Woo! I love his boldness. It's like, imagine Peter Saturday morning. You know, they met daily, they broke bread. I'm going to the temple. Anyone want to go with me? Everyone's like looking away. No, he's too radical. I don't mind going with Stephen. I don't mind going with John the Beloved. He's so sweet. I don't mind going with Matthew because he'll get into an economics debate to lead someone to Jesus. But Peter is too radical. He's going to say something that's going to get us in trouble. We all know people like that. They're too radical. Their temperature is too hot. Too hot to handle. Let it be known to you all that by the name of Jesus, who you crucified, who God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you. Because they prayed for a crippled man, and he got up. This is a stone that you rejected. He was rejected by you builders, but he's become the chief cornerstone. I love this guy. Nor is there salvation in any other. That's pretty radical to say to all these Jewish leaders. There's no other salvation other than him. For there's no name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. This guy's radical. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, I admire John. Sorry, John. John was the only one that's like, I'll come with you, Peter. Everyone else is like, no, the Lord told me to go to the marketplace today. The Lord told me to go there. I'm not going. Imagine you're on your way to, like, with your friends, like, listen, Peter's going to, you know, he's a bit out there, right? He's not going to want to go to the mall. He's not going to want to go to the park. He's not going to want to go he's going to want to go to the synagogue. This guy's a bit too radical for me. It says that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. They marveled. And they realized, so that was in their minds a negative, but they're thinking, how come they speak so eloquently? We know Peter's a fisherman. It says here they realized that they had been with Jesus. That was the source of their power. That was the source of their boldness. Because they thinking, how come these guys are so radical? They know we can take them out right now, but they are boldly telling us about Jesus, the chutzpah, the audacity to tell us that the man we just crucified, the only way we can all get to heaven is through Jesus. Who do these fishermen think we are? But it says they realized they had been with Jesus. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them. You say one more word. They threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. And we know their threats had backing, right? They had the backing of their own gods, the temple gods, but they also had the backing of the Romans that had just executed Jesus, that were professional executioners crucifying people. So, you know, they knew that these leaders had power. If I step out of line, they just have to write our names down, hand it in, and we dead men walking. So they called them and commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John, answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot help but speak the things we have seen and heard. I'm sorry, we can't help ourselves. This Jesus is the Messiah. He heals the sick. He raises the dead. There's no other name under heaven by which man can be saved. And whatever you have to do, you do. But we have to do what we have to do. Then they go back, as you know, to all their, they go back to their crew. the other followers of Jesus. They're probably thinking they whacked them, they're dead, there's no ways. Peter and John at the door. What's up, guys? Shabbat shalom, good Shabbos. And they say, let's pray. Now listen to their prayer. Now, how many would agree Peter and John were a little bit bold? They get a tick, right? They were bold. So now they pray. Now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, stretching out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They're praying for more boldness. I mean, these guys are out there, amen? And I want to be out there with them. And when they had prayed, the place they were filling, that they were assembled together, was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. God wants us to be bold in our faith. Now, we come from Africa, and you kind of say what you feel in Africa. You're kind of outspoken, and in some cultures, I can't believe he said. That's why when Mr. Trump, President Trump, came on the scene and was like, no filter, it's like, I've grown up with that. So it's like, so now everything we do is in love, but we need boldness to speak the truth. When good people do nothing, bad things happen. There's a vacuum. It's either going to be filled with good or with evil. But if we are the first on the scene to speak truth to a situation, then the masses won't be deceived. And when I sent out that mass text, my one pastor friend in South Africa, Pastor Chandre, he texted me back. He says, I was a Muslim and I was deceived and they trained us to hate the Jews. But Jesus has changed my life, obviously. So you needed a brave individual to speak to Chandre before he was a pastor. He wasn't Pastor Chandre. He was radical Islamist Chandre. But someone reached out to him. And don't you just love the son of Hamas? Have you seen him on TV? His father was one of the founders of Hamas. And what happened was the Israelis captured him, obviously being a radical Islamist. They captured him, put him in prison. And while he's in the Israeli prison, he says two things. Number one, the Israelis treated him so well and treated the prisoners well, with dignity. He said, but our own people, our own Islamic people, and now he's the son of Hamas, no one's going to touch him, right? He said, they did such cruel things to the fellow prisoners, not the Israeli soldiers, his fellow Muslim brothers, torturing them, doing evil things to them, which I don't want to talk about. And you know, when you're in prison, you have time. So he was like, how come, you know, we want to kill them, but they're being nice to us. And our own people, there's fighting within the prison. And if this one does something, we torture him, we do this to him. It's terrible torture in prison. And by the grace of God, he's become a Christian. And he's every day he's on a different channel. He's very passionate speaking out. And he was also saying that the Israelis are there to liberate the people of Palestine from Hamas. So it's that perspective. So when you come with wisdom and a true perspective in your company, in your friendships, if God raises you up to be a politician, a media person, an influencer, a famous person, when you speak with wisdom, those that are sincere, their hearts will be turned. Our campaigns in Cape Town, South Africa, there were only about 10 Islamic schools where the principals would not let us in to preach about Jesus. So those are the full-on extreme radicals. But 10 or 15 Muslim schools, they let us in to preach. Now people think, yeah, right, Jared, why? I'll tell you why. Number one, the principal can't handle these kids because there's a lot of violence in the school. There's teenage pregnancy. Disrespect to the teachers. What's a teacher going to do if you cuss at the teacher? They know who your father is. They know who your uncle is. They're not going to discipline you. So it's like, I've tried everything. Let's see if this Jared Davidoff Save the World Foundation, maybe they can help me. Maybe they can convert some of these people to Christianity and give us a break. Then we come in, hello, everybody. How, boys and girls, say yeah. Or the girls say, ooh. Or the guys say, oh, yeah. And then we share our testimony, how we were juvenile delinquents. Now, when you go into those schools, you share the worst sins you've ever done. Because you need some street credibility in the school. Because they're going to think, oh, Christian pastor trying to convert me. No. We tell our worst stories, right? You hope none of your Christian buddies are around and there's no filming on that day because you have to shock them and share how Jesus changed your life. And if Jesus could change my life, he can change your life. Now, I know some of you come from different religions. No, duh. Oh, really? So you act a bit naive. I come from a Jewish religion. I don't know what religions you all come from. The Muslim guys are wearing the things. The girls have the burqas. Don't know what religions you all from. Oh, really? But listen, Jesus, he can turn your life around. He's the Messiah. The Messiah of the Italians, the Messiah of the Greeks, the Messiah of the Arabs, the Messiah of the Israelites, the Messiah of the Canadians, of the Portuguese, everyone's Messiah. And don't miss out, guys, don't miss out. He died on the cross for you. So listen, God can use us to lead anyone to Jesus. Anyone. Look at Paul. Paul was a murderer. He was there signing off to Stephen's execution. They took Stephen, they actually threw him off the temple, and then they stoned him, according to history. They didn't just stone Stephen. It's like they really wanted to torture the guy. And it says they lay his clothes at the foot of Paul, Saul. Then Saul the murderer, the fanatical religious freak, is on a horse on his way to Damascus. And a light shone around him as bright as the sun. And Jesus, Jesus appeared to him. He fell off his horse. He said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" I'm not persecuting. What are you talking about? Oh, what have I just seen? Think of the mind gymnastics that was going on. Because here, Saul was trained under Gamaliel, who's like the smartest of the smartest. It's like every smart person put in one, Einstein, all the top people. There are not too many. Elon Musk, brain, Einstein, brain, strategic brain, religious brain. Now he's trained by the top guy. He knows the Old Testament like perfectly. Because you're studying it 6-7 hours a day. If you study the Torah 6-7 hours a day, you're going to know chapters and chapters. And he's so radical, he's like, no, every Jew should keep the Sabbath, should follow the high holy days. We're waiting for the Messiah. Now these Christians, now these Jewish believers in Yeshua come, they want to ruin our religion. They apostates, And he got radical. A lot of people have that radical element in them. I'm one of those people. If I find out the truth about something, I'm fanatical. In a good way, not in a destructive way. Radical faith. I radically believe that Jesus is a healer. I radically believe Jesus wants to prosper people financially. You can be a street sweeper. You can have the lowest position in McDonald's, but in 5 years, you'll be the manager of McDonald's. In 10 years, you'll have one location. In 15 years, you'll have 10 or 15 locations. I radically believe God wants to set people free. I fanatically believe that God has a plan and a purpose for our life. So I'm fanatical about things in the Bible. And so was Saul. So when Jesus appeared to him, there must have been such shock, such awe going on in his mind, in his spirit. All the messianic scriptures, boom, 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 boom. He has to be born in Bethlehem Ephrata according to Micah 5:2. He has to be born of a virgin according to Isaiah 7:14. He has to be from the house of David. He will, Isaiah 53, he'll be led like a lamb to the slaughter, boom, and as a sheep before a shearer is silent, as is before Pilate, as is before the Sanhedrin, he will not open his mouth, he'll bear the sins of many. All these scriptures are exploding in Saul. And he's blind. God blinded him for 3 days. And then who was it? Was Cornelius. Ananias came and lay hands on him and said, "Saul, Paul, my brother." And he baptized him, and he became radical for Jesus. Amen? So there's hope for your friends. There's hope for your family. There's hope for your boss. There's hope. Amen? Remember, the Holy Spirit came upon him. It says in Acts 18:26, they began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Okay, that was Paul. So boldness to evangelize. Now, that's not just for the fivefold ministry. That's for every Christian. Now, all of us have a different tone. You know, like singers have different octave levels. You have a country singer doesn't sing like Mariah Carey. And then Bocelli is not like Michael Jackson. Ooh, oh, yeah. No, everyone's different, right? You all have a different tone. Some of you have a business tone, a political tone, a compassionate tone, an aggressive tone. God will use aggressive people to reach aggressive people. So they're people that God has ordained for you to interact with. And he will supernaturally bring these people into your life. They're people you can reach I could never reach. They're people I can reach that you couldn't reach. But if we all just reach, like Jesus said, everyone has a work to do. If you reach the people God has ordained you to do. Like Lewis is a professional golfer, a professional golf instructor as well. And he said, hey, I'm with 30 guys. I don't think I can make it on Saturday mornings, but I'll try to shift the Saturday morning so I can find a way to be here on a Saturday. No, that's where God wants him. He wants Lewis for 18 holes to be connecting with these 30 golfers. Because I know Lewis, you can't shut him up. You can't silence him. He's out the closet. He will pray for you. He will counsel you. He'll tell you about Jesus. This guy has no filter about Jesus. I still have a few little filters I need to get rid of, but he has like no filter. If you want him to reach a relative, just give him the address. We'll put a hit on your uncle, mother-in-law, your boss. He'll knock on the door, do one-on-one evangelism. So he needs to be with the golfers because he speaks their language. He's helping them, no, hold your grip like this and your swing, don't do that too much. Don't do this, don't do that. This is how you judge which golf stick you need. And the guy's saying, wow, he's so helpful. Wow, Lewis, you've really helped my swing. You've really helped my putt. Listen, I want to help you some more. I want to help you get to heaven, brother. I've helped you with your swing. How would you like me to help you get to heaven? I know a man that can get you in. Would you like to get in? Of course. There we go. So you must reach people in your world. Amen. Amen. Father God, thank you so much for your precious word, your word that says the righteous, those who are in right standing with you, those that are your followers will be as bold as a lion. Thank you, Lord. Like Bonky used to say, we will not purr like a kitten. We will roar like a lion. Thank you, Lord, that our roar is the gospel. Our roar is your love. You love people. You adore people. It pains you to see people suffering, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that every single one of us will have your heart for people to reach them. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters that they will be bold in their assignment. Whatever you've called them to do, they will have that courage, that tenacity to do what you've called them to do. Give them the faith to step out. Give them the faith to pursue your calling on their life, Lord God. business, ministry, sports, entertainment, politics, education, science, debating, social media influences, sports, management, business owners. May they be bold in getting a venue and getting office space and starting and growing and hiring the right people. Give them that boldness, Father, to do what you've called them to do. We just following your orders, your steps, your voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you do these things in Jesus' name. And Father God, we just pray for every person that's here or every person watching us right now who's heard this message, but they haven't made a decision to receive Jesus, Yeshua. My friend, Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for you. He was buried. Yet on the third day, he rose from the dead and he's alive. And he's knocking at the door of your heart. And he says, whoever comes to me will not perish, but have eternal life. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. The arms of Jesus are open wide, ready to receive you just the way you are. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, for God so loved the world. He doesn't hate the world. He doesn't say, for God wants to punish the world. For God loves the world so much that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in Jesus will not perish but have eternal life. And if that is you, my friend, if you want to receive Jesus for the first time or you want to recommit your life to Jesus, while everyone's eyes are closed, no one looking around, if that's you, you want to receive Jesus for the first time or recommit your life to Jesus, whether you're here in this, in the venue, church venue, or you're watching us on TV or social media, just put up your hand if you want Jesus to come into your life. Just quickly, quickly put up your hand. And let's all pray this prayer together. Say, Jesus, I believe in my heart that you are the Son of God. I believe in my heart that you died on the cross to take my sins away. I believe in my heart that you were buried and on the third day you rose from the dead and you are alive. And right now, I give my life to you. My spirit, my soul, and my body, everything I have, everything I am, I give to you. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, hallelujah.